I want you to picture a scenario, and I think every single person listening has been here. You're at your desk. It's like 2 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Yep, the afternoon slump.
The afternoon slump, exactly. You've got your coffee, you're in the zone, you have 12 tabs open because you're multitasking. But then the ads start.
Ugh, the absolute bane of the modern internet.
It's focus breaking, right? Pop-ups, banners, some video just starts playing in the corner. So you decide to take control. You go to the Chrome store or Edge or whatever you
You
use,
search for an ad blocker.
and you find one that looks amazing. Slick logo, professional design, great description. You click install, and you think, finally, peace.
And look, usually that's where the story ends. You get your ad blocker, life is good.
Usually. But in this scenario, maybe an hour later, things go horribly wrong. Your cursor starts to lag. You get the spinning wheel of death.
Oh, I know that feeling.
And your computer's fan starts screaming like a jet engine. You try to click a tab, nothing. You try to close the browser, and it's just completely frozen. And then crash.
That's the moment of panic, the digital heart attack.
Exactly. And
Oh.
you're sitting there thinking, is my computer dying? Did I just have too many tabs open? You blame yourself. But what we are digging into today is the reality that this crash, it wasn't a glitch. It wasn't bad luck.
It was a calculated psychological assault designed specifically to make you panic.
It's a strategy they're calling crash fix, and it is terrifyingly brilliant.
It really is.
Today, we're looking at a new report on these crash fix attacks, focusing on a piece of malware called NextShield. We're also pulling in forensic analysis from the team at Technigian, and the bottom line seems to be hackers are done being quiet.
Oh, yeah, they're kicking down the front door now and tricking you into inviting them in while the house is on fire.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, it's a huge evolution in what we call social engineering. It exploits a very basic human truth. When our tech fails, we get frustrated. And when we're frustrated,
We make mistakes.
we make bad decisions.
So let's unpack this, starting with the Trojan horse. This extension, NextShield, it didn't look like malware at all, did it?
Not even a little bit. And that's the first layer of the deception. The attackers created a browser extension that looked completely legitimate.
It was sold as an ad blocker.
An advanced ad blocker. They built a professional website, had sleek branding, but the real hook was a very specific lie about who made it.
This is the part that just floored me. They name-dropped someone.
They did. They claimed that NextShield was associated with Raymond Hill.
Okay, for anyone who isn't deep in the open source weeds, who is Raymond Hill?
In the world of browser privacy, he's basically a rock star. He's the creator of uBlock Origin.
Which is huge.
It's the gold standard. It has something like 13 million users. He's known for being incredibly ethical, privacy-focused, and just brilliant.
So by saying, hey, Raymond Hill's involved, they're essentially borrowing his reputation.
Exactly. It's a textbook case of what we call trust transference. You might not trust a random new app called NextShield, but you probably trust Raymond Hill. So if you think he's involved, that trust, it just transfers over. It's a powerful psychological shortcut.
Wow, that is so manipulative. It's basically identity theft for credibility.
Precisely. And it worked. People installed it. And here's the really devious part. For a little while, it actually works. It blocks ads.
It does what it says on the tin.
It lulls you into a false sense of security. I mean, think about it. If it crashed your computer 5 seconds after you installed it, you'd know exactly what happened.
Right. Oh, it's that bad extension. Uninstall. Done.
But it doesn't do that. It waits.
And we have to circle back to that waiting period because it's a key part of the trap. But first, let's talk about the crash itself, because eventually the trap springs. What is actually happening inside the computer?
This is where it shifts from just being, a bit shady to being actively malicious.
Yeah.
The extension has code that's specifically designed to trigger a denial of service condition inside your browser.
Denial of service, isn't that for websites? Flooding them with traffic.
It is, but this is like doing it to your own laptop. The Technigian report describes it as an endless loop of runtime port connections.
Okay, break that down for me. Runtime port connections, what should I be picturing?
Think of your browser like a busy kitchen. Orders come in, food goes out, it's an organized system. What this code does is create a million fake orders all at once every millisecond.
So it just floods the kitchen.
It floods the kitchen, your CPU start panicking, the counter space, your RAM gets completely filled up.
And that's physically why my computer gets hot and the fans spin up like crazy.
That's it exactly. The system is redlining at 100% capacity trying to process this garbage loop. That's why everything freezes. It's not a fake freeze. the resources are genuinely gone.
And that is such a crucial distinction.
Yeah.
We've seen scams before where a website just, it goes full screen and shows you a picture of a blue screen of death.
Right. The old click fix scams. Those were just smoke and mirrors. A savvy user could just hit the escape key or F11 and realize, oh, it's just a picture.
But you can't hit escape on a NextShield crash.
No. Your computer is, for all intents and purposes, bricked in that moment. You are forced to do a hard reset, or, if you're lucky, struggle to open the task manager and kill the process.
And this brings us right to the psychology of it. I'm sitting there, my work is gone, I'm sweating because my expensive machine is freaking out. I am not thinking about cybersecurity.
No, you're just thinking, I need to get back to work.
Exactly.
And that's what they are counting on. We call it technical panic. When the machine fails, our critical thinking skills just, they plummet. Our stress levels go up and we enter this problem-solving mode where we just want the fastest fix possible.
You become impatient.
Exactly.
So, okay, I kill the browser, I take a deep breath, I relaunch it, and this is where the trap snaps shut. What happens next?
Almost immediately, a pop-up appears. And it doesn't look like an ad. It looks like a system message. Professional, clean, it'll say something alarming like security threat detected or system error resolved, action required.
Which in that moment feels incredibly validating.
It does. It validates the crash. Your brain goes, oh, my computer didn't just break for no reason. It broke because of this virus. And look, the system caught it. It creates a story that makes sense to your panicked mind.
So the malware causes the problem and then immediately offers itself as the solution.
It's the classic arsonist firefighter scheme. The pop-up then directs you to a scan or a fix window, and this is where we get to the actual payload delivery.
I was reading about this in the notes, and I couldn't believe how simple and dangerous it is. Walk us through what the user is asked to do.
So the fix screen gives you step-by-step instructions. It tells you to copy a specific command, usually with a nice, easy copy button. Then it tells you to open the Windows command prompt or PowerShell.
That's the black or blue window with the white text that looks like you're in the Matrix.
Right, and it just tells you to open that, right-click, paste, and hit Enter.
Just press Ctrl plus V to clean your system. It sounds so harmless.
It really does. We copy and paste things hundreds of times a day. It's muscle memory. But pasting that specific command into PowerShell, you are bypassing almost every single security layer your browser has.
Because browsers are sandboxed, right?
Yeah.
They keep the scary internet stuff contained.
Exactly. Chrome tries very hard to stop websites from actually touching your real files. But PowerShell. PowerShell is the cockpit of your entire operating system. It has the keys to the kingdom.
So when I paste that code,
right,
what am I actually telling my computer to do?
The code itself is obfuscated, so it just looks like a wall of scrambled nonsense to a person. But to the computer, it's a very clear set of instructions. It basically says, go to this secret server, download this malicious file, install it, and then hide yourself.
So you are hacking yourself. You're literally inviting the vampire into your house.
You are. And because you did it, because you were the one who ran the command, your antivirus software often just stands by and lets it happen. It assumes you know what you're doing.
That is just devastating. Okay, let's circle back to something you mentioned earlier, the delay. The report says there's a 60-minute timer. Why?
This is a detail that shows how sophisticated this attack really is. The payload, the thing that causes the crash, it doesn't trigger immediately after you install NextShield. There's a program delay, often about an hour.
So I install the extension, it blocks a few ads, I feel good about it, I go grab a coffee, come back, work for another half hour, and then it all falls apart.
Precisely. It's a tactic called dissociation. The goal is to break the mental link between I installed an extension and my computer crashed. If it happens an hour later, you don't blame NextShield.
You blame a Windows update or that weird website you were on.
Or just bad luck. It clears the board of suspects so that when the fake fix pop-up appears, it's the only thing you're focusing on.
Honestly, it's diabolical, the planning that went into that. So Let's say I fall for it. I paste the code, I hit enter, what did I just install? The report mentions something called Modeler App.
Yes. And this is where the story shifts from, you know, annoying malware to serious corporate espionage. Modeler App is a remote access tool. That's the RAT part.
In Modelo.
That's just the specific variant. It's written in Python, which makes it flexible and a little harder for some older antivirus systems to spot. But the most interesting thing about it is that it's context aware.
Context aware. Okay, that sounds like a marketing term. What does it mean for malware?
It means the malware is smart enough to look around and decide if you're a valuable target. When it first lands on your system, it asks, where am I? Who owns this computer?
And what is it specifically looking for?
It checks if the computer is domain joined. In plain English, that usually means, is this computer part of a corporate network?
So if I'm just a home user on my personal laptop, I'm probably not domain joined. But if I'm an accountant at a big company working on my company laptop.
You absolutely are. And the malware's behavior changes completely based on that one answer.
So what happens to the home user?
In the campaigns they observe, the malware often just went dormant on non-domain hosts. It might send a little hello message back to its servers, but it doesn't deploy the full weapon.
So the attackers just decide you aren't worth the effort.
Or the risk of being discovered. But if you are domain joined, if you're a corporate target, all the lights turn green. It downloads the full modular app payload.
They're big game hunting.
They are. The threat actor group behind this is identified as Kongtuk. They've been active since early 2025, and their focus has shifted very clearly toward enterprise targets. They don't want your Netflix password.
They want the keys to the corporate kingdom.
Exactly.
So if ModularAct gets fully installed on a work laptop, what can it do?
It's a hacker's Swiss Army knife. It does full reconnaissance, maps out the internal network, finds out who you are, what files you can access. It can execute remote PowerShell commands, which basically means the hacker has a seat at your keyboard.
They can see my files, see what I'm typing.
They can turn on your webcam, log your keystrokes to steal passwords, upload ransomware, download sensitive data. And most dangerously, they can use your computer as a beachhead to attack the rest of the company. This is how major breaches start.
And it's persistent, right? I can't just restart my computer and make it go away.
Not a chance. It digs itself into the Windows registry so that it starts up every single time you boot the computer. It even has a self-update feature.
It updates itself.
Yep. If the hackers want to add a new tool or patch a bug, they can just push an update to your machine remotely. It evolves while it's living on your hard drive.
This feels just overwhelmingly dangerous. You have a fake extension, a real crash that forces panic, a psychological trick, and a payload that hunts for businesses. It feels like the user doesn't stand a chance.
It can feel that way, but that's not quite true. The defenses are actually quite simple, but they require us to change our behavior, to unlearn some bad habits.
Okay, let's get into prevention. The stop, look, verify part. If I'm looking for an extension, how do I spot a fake like NextShield? You said it had good reviews.
It had good star ratings. But you have to look deeper. The number one tip is to read the recent written reviews.
Why the recent one specifically?
Because legitimate, popular extensions sometimes get sold. A developer builds a great tool, gets a big offer, and sells it to a marketing company, which is actually a front for bad actors.
Oh, wow.
So an extension might have 5 years of five-star history, but the last 2 weeks of reviews are all people screaming, "This crashed my computer," or malware.
So ignore the overall 4.8 out of 5 and actually read the last 10 comments.
Always. Sort by newest. It's the single best way to spot a tool that's gone bad.
And what about the Raymond Hill claim? The name dropping?
You have to cross-reference. Never just trust the description in the store. If an extension claims to be from a famous developer, open a new tab. Go to their official website, their Twitter, their GitHub page.
If Raymond Hill had a new tool, he'd be talking about it.
He'd be shouting it from the rooftops. If his official channels are silent, the extension is a lie. Simple as that.
Okay, now the big one. The golden rule. I've had the crash. I'm panicked. What do I do?
This is probably the most important takeaway from this whole thing. If a browser pop-up, a website, or any support window ever asks you to copy code and paste it into PowerShell or command prompt,
just
never, under any circumstances. Legitimate companies, Google, Microsoft, Adobe, they do not fix mugs by asking you to run raw kernel in a terminal. It just does not happen.
It is not a standard troubleshooting step.
It is the absolute hallmark of an attack. The moment you see, paste this into PowerShell, you are being targeted, period. Close the window. If you can't, pull the plug on the computer. But do not paste that code.
That's a very clear line in the sand. So what about on the corporate side? If Kongtuk is hunting businesses, companies need to be doing more.
Absolutely. This is a policy issue. Companies need to use tools like Group Policy or MDM to restrict which extensions employees can even install. You shouldn't be able to just install anything you want on a work machine.
A bit inconvenient, but necessary.
Security is always a trade-off with convenience, but allowing unvetted extensions is just a massive hole in your security. And training needs to be updated. We teach people about phishing emails, but not that a browser crash might be a social engineering trick.
We need to update the playbook. So let's say the worst has happened. I installed it, I panicked, I pasted the code. What now? Can I just go into my extensions and click remove?
No. And this is where a lot of people get a false sense of security. Uninstalling the extension only removes the trigger. The bullet is already in the wound.
The extension was just the delivery truck. The RAT is the package it dropped off.
Exactly. You've sent the truck away, but the bomb is already ticking in your living room. The Technigian analysis is very clear on this. Surface level removal is useless.
So what's the real fix?
If you're a home user, a full deep anti-malware stan with a reputable tool, and frankly, you should probably change every single password you have.
Because of the keylogging risk.
Right. But, and this is vital, do not change them on the infected computer.
Oh, good point.
Use your phone. Use a different, clean laptop. Otherwise, the RAT will just record your new passwords as you type them.
And if you're a corporate user,
you burn it to the ground.
Very easily.
Re-imaging the machine, wiping it completely, and reinstalling the operating system from scratch. It is the only way to be 100% sure you've removed a persistent RAT like this. It sounds extreme, but the alternative is leaving a backdoor open for an attack that could cost the company millions.
Wow. It really highlights how much the game has changed. Hacking used to feel so technical, you know, cracking firewalls and passwords. Now it feels almost entirely psychological.
That is the new battlefield. Attackers like Kongtuk are basically stage magicians. They use misdirection. The crash is the big flash of light and smoke. While you're staring at that, wondering what went wrong, they're picking your pocket with the so-called fix.
It's so cynical, exploiting our natural frustration like that.
It is. But it's also a sign that our technical defenses are getting better. It's hard to hack Chrome directly. It's hard to hack Windows. It is much, much easier to hack the humans sitting in the chair. We are always the softest target.
So here's the final thought for everyone listening. The next time your browser crashes or your computer freezes or things just start acting weird, take a breath.
Don't panic. Their weapon is your frustration.
And ask yourself, is this just a glitch? Or is my computer trying to trick me? Because in the world of crash fix attacks, the solution is almost always the real problem.
Stay skeptical.
That's it for this deep dive. Stay safe, verify those extensions, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.